Well, friends, I would invite you this morning to either turn to the Bible that you brought with you in worship, or certainly to turn your attention to the screen. I have to confess to you, we are turning to the book of Romans, and we're turning to the heart of Romans. And so as we read these verses, short in number and incalculable in depth, may we hear in them God's word for us today. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Author and perfecter of our faith, we come as best as we know how and open our hearts to you. Would you speak this day? Speak in a way that we might hear. Speak in a way that we might trust. Speak in a way that we might follow. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, I'm sure the Gwekis are not unique in this, but with the coming of warm temperatures, we have joyously returned to the art of cooking on the grill. And as the one who's been tasked with learning the grill in our house, I have been trying to lean into a new skill this particular year. You see, our in-laws purchased a cow. They had a cow butchered, and so they had a lot of meat. And so they gave us the biggest, nicest, best-looking steak I've seen in my entire life. Like, holding it made me think I was holding, like, a gold brick, okay? And so it's been sitting in our freezer now for, I have to admit to you, about a year, because that slab of meat terrified me. Because I thought, if I ruin that, I've, like, ruined the best thing I've ever had. So, as a good Presbyterian, I did research. I mean, I was reading, and I was watching how-to videos, and I was like, how do I not screw up this piece of steak? And I was both pleased and not pleased to learn that the people who are good at grilling steak make it look easy. They say, put in the simple and good ingredients that you want to have a great cut of meat. That I had, it was given to me. And then they said, it's a simple process. You don't need to be too fussy. 8 minutes and it's done. And it seemed too good to be true. The lesson that I learned in cooking my steak was that good things aren't always complicated. Sometimes they do start with good ingredients. And sometimes, if you just trust the process, the thing at the end is going to be really good. I'm happy to report, my daughter Emily, upon seeing the steak, said, Dad, what's the special celebration? And I said, there isn't one. I just didn't ruin the steak. So, friends, we gather here today hearing some of the most deep words written in the entire New Testament, which this preacher is aware I began preaching about, talking about steak. And some of that is because it is hard to get access to what Paul is doing here. It is so deep. It's incalculable. Nearly every word bears weight in this text. And so today, humbly, I want to just walk into the text with you. I titled the sermon, Trust the Process. It's convenient because I called it that on Monday. And as the sermon actually was written, it actually follows the sermon title. That doesn't happen for me very often. But that is indeed the path we're going to walk. We're going to talk about trust, and then we're going to talk about the process. You might notice that Paul led by saying we are justified by faith, and so therefore we have peace with God. Trust leads us to peace. And friends, peace is not something that we should take for granted. You might know this, that history has a long history of not believing that we could have peace with God. From the sacrifices that go all the way back to appease the gods too, you might know that the Roman Empire, in all of its strength, built a temple to house all of the gods of the people that Rome conquered. In their mind, it served two purposes. The first is they could, like trophies, show the might of Rome. Look at all of the people and their gods that we've conquered. The second purpose was a little bit more human, and that was, just in case their gods were real, we shouldn't make them angry, and we'll honor them in our place. The Romans, even at the height of their power, believed that there was something to be afraid of in God. And Christians, if we're honest, have not always escaped that temptation ourselves. Sometimes we have believed that we couldn't have peace with God, and at its extreme, some Christians take that out on themselves. You might have heard there are some very extreme versions of the faith where people injure themselves as a way of trying to be connected to God. I have personally, in my own ministry, talked with children who describe God as like that eternal police officer checking over the playground to make sure if they get it right or wrong. I've counseled adults whose deepest fear is that God will bring judgment on them someday for a thing that they did a long, long time ago. On the other extreme, sometimes Christians have totally given up this idea that we can have peace with God. In fact, we flattened it so that the gospel of Jesus Christ is no longer Jesus crucified, resurrected, and raised, but rather that the faith is a nice metaphor and that it sort of inspires us on some map to self-fulfillment. Neither of these ways are what Paul has in mind. And Christians at our best have affirmed that yes, we are sinners, but we stand justified in Jesus Christ by grace, and that grace gives us peace. So the first question that I want to ask you this morning is, do you have peace, that deep-seated well within your soul, that quiet glistening, that reassuring promise that God has done the eternal work for you and that you can live in that rest? Recently, I have been struck by what seems like a day-by-day growing, deep-seated, kind of constant rising of anxiety and fear in the culture that surrounds us. It's a little bit like the state of the gas prices. They keep going up, and you think, well, that's as high as they can go. And then you're like, nope, they can go higher. The same with our anxieties and fears. It feels that they continue to escalate. We worry when our bank accounts and retirement accounts don't keep up with the challenge of buying groceries. We worry when we see the daily images of farming communities around the world being bombed in an ongoing war. We worry when we're inundated by news headlines about the latest conflicts and incivility in our own country. We can't even go to coffee with friends without at some point dealing with the conversation about violence that involves children. Friends, it is natural for us to worry. It is human to have anxiety, but Christian peace does not come from our circumstances. Because friends, if it did, the earliest martyrs would have never had peace. No, peace comes from our deep inner awareness that God is near to us, as close to us as our own breath. It comes to us when we know that God's love beats in our own chest. His presence is bound up in every cell of our bodies. We have peace with God because God made peace with us. So then we, like Paul, dare to boast in the hope of the glory of God. Make no mistake about it, Christian boasting is never in ourselves. We know how consistent we are in leaving the path and how consistent God is in bringing us back. We find our boasting in God himself, and when we boast in God, all we do is stand in grace. No matter what happens around us, far from our shores or right in our own town, we trust in Jesus. Jesus is the bedrock of God's own glory. And friends, it's not some fictional story or some nice metaphor that inspires us. It is God's revelation, Jesus Christ at work, transforming us and justifying us. This is where we find our hope. I don't know how we could hear words like this in a moment like this and not be inspired. How could we not raise up our voice with the psalmist like we heard this morning and cry out, "How majestic is your name in all the earth"? Who else serves a God who gives peace in the midst of anxiety, who makes the path straight when every other path on offer is crooked? Friends, this is why we boast, not because we deserve it, but because the God who calls us makes it so. So I ask you this day, very simply, just a matter of our own diagnostic for our own selves. How is your peace? No judgment. If it's not good, that is merely a marker to turn to the one who in Jesus Christ offers you grace. Go to that quiet place. Look even into the difficult moments of life, and you will find a God who goes with you. Take this as a simple invitation that there's nothing you need to do. There's no way you can complete your salvation. That has been done. Trust God. He goes with you. Paul, who writes this text, is incredible. Believe it or not, we made it through two verses thus far. And we could spend the rest of the morning plumbing the depths of these words. But the truth is, he's not an ostrich. Paul does not live his life with his head in the sand. He doesn't believe it's all roses and candy canes and ice cream. Paul knows that the world that we live in is dark and it's ravaged. Paul gave his life for the faith. He was persecuted and shipwrecked, and in every community that he went. This Paul who we read today knows something about suffering. And it strikes me that's exactly where he turns next. Paul, when he begins to describe life, turns to talk about this process. Remember what I said, trust the process. He moves to talk about the process. And I have a friend who taught me a lot about the process. Let me explain what I mean. So this very close friend of ours is unbelievably creative. I'm sure you all know someone like this. But I first met her, and I saw her sewing clothes together. Never seen it in my entire life. Someone that can make clothing. I thought, wow, that's incredible. And she would show me the thing that she made, that I would tell her, that's incredible. I can't imagine doing that. She said, oh, it's nothing. It's easy. And then I saw her knitting stuffed animals for my daughters, like legit stuffed animals. I was like, that is unbelievable. She said, oh, no, it's easy. And then she served me pie, the best pie I've ever eaten, and she's gone on to win awards. And I said, how in the world do you do that? She said, oh, it's easy. And at first I thought, you apparently have no sense of reality. I don't know anybody else who makes clothes and stuffed animals and paintings and pies, and they say it's easy. I began to learn from her that she wasn't talking about the thing that she made. She wasn't saying that the pie was easy. I learned that what she was saying is the process is easy. She learned how to make pies. She learned the steps that happen to make a stuffed animal. For her, it was simply trusting that that will result in the thing she started to make. And she's wicked talented, okay? Let's be honest. But friends, there's something deeply true about trusting the process, about knowing that we can't get to the end without going all the way through each step. And I see something of that in what Paul has to say to us today. Because as Paul lays it out, suffering, a thing that none of us like, nor the scriptures say we should like, but Paul sees in suffering something produced. He says perseverance, and then it leads to character. And then character leads to hope. We as Christians trust that God is making something in this very difficult process of living. maybe we have the wrong image of suffering. I was helped this week as I looked into the text and saw that the word we have translated suffering in our Bibles, it has the idea of straits or pressure. We've all experienced pressure in our life, right? Those moments when things get tight, when it feels like each and every day is just a process of taking the next step. This is the kind of pressure that Paul has in mind. And the first word he chooses to describe the process is perseverance, or translated differently, hopeful persisting. Have you ever seen someone going through the dark, dark night of the soul and seeing them do so hopefully? If you have, you know how inspiring it is. Someone who trust the presence of Jesus Christ, even in the most difficult moment of their life. Perseverance is the step of taking today's step and trusting that Jesus will carry us. Then Paul says, perseverance, the next step in the process will be to build character, to prove within us what is already true, the God who saved us and is working and leading us towards an end. And Paul says, as we live into that character, we will discover hope, or as one translator said, faith-filled expectation. This is guaranteed to each of us, Paul says, by the love that God sheds in our hearts. I can't linger here, but I just want to point out to you, all of this process culminates in love. He starts with trust in God. We, each of us, find peace in the God who calls us, but it ends in love. Remember, John tells us God is love. So we start with God. We start by trusting God, and in the end, we are united to God in love. This is the beautiful three-step process that Paul lays out. Now, for all of you honor students, it is not a report card. You don't get to give yourself A on each step. It's not like that. It's more like directions that we give our neighbor, especially before GPS. How many people gave directions in Spirit Lake based upon go south at Vic's Corner, right? Or go east at the four-way stop, if you ever get through the four-way stop, right? We give directions based upon where you're going to get to. That's what Paul is saying, that any Christian life we'll need to persevere. There will come a moment where your character will be proven. There will come a moment where you find yourself hoping, not a loose, far-out hope, deeply expecting what God is going to do. These aren't unrealistic expectations for our Christian life. So if you don't feel like you meet them today, don't feel judged or guilty or embarrassed. Paul isn't laying out the perfect Christian life. Instead, he's telling us that when Christians find ourselves pushed in, when the world closes in us, when the pressure is the strongest, that is the moment to take one more step, to trust the process, to trust the God who sent us on this journey. So that we don't just pass by it and we miss the mile marker we just passed, let's zoom out for a second. We began this morning, trust God. God will carry you. And now we get to the point where we are reminded that as we trust God, life will inevitably put pressure on us. We will experience moments of suffering. There's no way around it. But the promise of the gospel is that God leaves nothing to chance. There is no suffering too deep. There's no darkness too black for God to transform it into something good, even in the midst of our own difficulty. We don't need to run the process. We just simply need to trust that God will lead us as we go. If we can trust God, we can trust the process. That leads me to my final thought for this morning. Wonder if my friend offers us an image of what Paul means. I don't think it would be easy to sew clothing. I don't think you're ever going to see a stuffed animal with my name on it. It is sad. But if we get to the end of life, what if we stand in the face of that beautiful vision of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and we have the moment to look back over our lives and see every one of those difficulties, every moment where the suffering seemed too great to bear, where the pressures seemed too much for us to carry through. What if we look at that and see, and can join our voices with the Apostle Paul and say, God was faithful. We trusted God. The process was one that God carried us through. Doesn't mean that it was easy, but it means that in God, it all came about. Friends, what if this is the good news? What if we are called this day to trust God and to trust the process, and then one day see God was faithful all along? May it be true for you. May it be true for us, now and forever. Amen.